Okay, if you want to, well, no, I don't have a Bible passage for you to turn to today. We're going to look at a whole bunch of them. Let me pray for us. Father, we just thank you that we're here. We thank you that we're in your presence. Lord, we ask that you speak to us through your word now. Sometimes we miss things that are obvious and we don't dig into your word to find truths that we need to live life. And so, Lord, speak to us today through every one of these passages that we're going to look at. And as always, we welcome the Holy Spirit's presence with us, because Holy Spirit, we know that as you are with us, there can be no other spirit in the room. There can be no spirit of distraction. There can be no spirit of doubt or confusion in the room. Only the Holy Spirit gets to speak and move and have his way, and we do long for you to do just that, Spirit. Amen. Well, like I said, I don't have one passage for you to look at today. We're going to look at a whole bunch of them. Oftentimes, I tell you that we're going to look at a whole bunch of passages of Scripture to build theology. Well, today I'm going to do something a little bit different. We're going to look at a whole bunch of passages. They'll be up on the screen, so you'll be able to follow along. But today I want to teach you a spiritual principle, and I want to teach you a different way to use Scripture, okay? I'm going to teach you a spiritual principle, one that's obvious enough but can be a little hard to understand. And then again, I want to show you a different way to use Scripture where we can find various passages of Scriptures and build them together to create weapons and tools for us to live our life in Christ. Amen? All right, I want to start with Matthew 13. I'm just going to touch on that for a minute to make a point. So Matthew 13, 24, Stephen. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" Now, I've preached on the passage many times, but I just want to make just a quick point here. It says that the man planted good seed, and from the good seed, a crop of wheat came up. Then the enemy planted weed seeds, and weeds came up. Here's the first part of the principle that I want to show you today, okay? If you plant wheat seeds, you get wheat plants. If you plant corn seeds, you get corn plants. If you plant acorns, you get oak trees. If you plant weed seeds, you get weeds, and guess what? Weeds grow everywhere, right? You get what you plant. That's the first principle I want to show you. You get what you plant. The man planted good seeds, he got wheat. The enemy planted weed seeds, he got weed, right? But it's a principle that will apply to all areas of our life. This is a principle that you cannot even avoid. It is in every single area of your life. I want to show you just for a minute, just humor me for a minute. I want to show you the power of seeds in the natural realm. Stephen, put up the first picture. A seed of a sunflower got into this concrete block wall, and it grew. That's what seeds are capable of. That seed is inside the seam of a concrete block wall, and it grew a sunflower. That's how powerful seeds can be. Go to the next one. This seed got into the crack of a sidewalk and a curb, and it grew a little baby tree. Right? This is what can happen in our life when we plant the right seeds. Things that we don't expect and things that shouldn't happen can happen when we plant the right seeds. So we look at our life and we see areas that are not where we would like them to be. We have to ask ourselves, what seeds have I been planting? Are your finances in distress? What seeds have you been planting to get there? Do you have relationships that are in distress? What seeds have you been planting to get there? Is your health in distress? Is your body in distress? What seeds were planted to get there? I want to start by looking at another passage from Proverbs, and then I'll get into a whole bunch. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The tongue, what we say, has the power of life and death. What we say can be one way that we plant seeds. Now, there are many ways to plant seeds, and we're going to get to some of those today, but what we speak is one way. We often underestimate the power of our words. What words have we been saying over ourselves, and what words have we been saying over our family? Could the words that we have been saying be the seeds of the fruit now present in those situations? You see that. All right, let's look at Psalm 109. He loved to pronounce a curse. May it come back on him. He found no pleasure in blessing. May it be far from him. He wore cursing as his garment. It entered his body like water, into his bones like oil. This is a literal word-for-word translation of the Hebrew or verse 17. This is what I call the Tim translation. As he loved cursing, so let it come to him. As he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. This is a Psalm of David. David is speaking of his enemy. The enemy of David loved to pronounce and speak curses, but then David says, may the curses come back onto him. You see, if you plant seeds of curses, they'll come back on you. Then David says he found no pleasure in blessing, so may blessing be far from him. So my advice to you is bless freely. If you don't plant good seed, no good will come, right? I love how that ends in verse 18. He wore cursing like a garment. In other words, cursing others was his identity. It's who he was. And then that cursing entered into his own body just like water. That should be sobering. The cursing affected him more than it did the people he was trying to curse. Do you see that? When we curse others, the effect of that curse enters our own body just like water does. We may not even be aware when we're cursing other people. Muttering that condemning or judgmental thought under our breath, that might come back more on you than it does anybody else. You get based on the seeds you sow. So what do? I want to start to answer that question from the natural realm first, and then we'll come back to some scriptures. This is the second part of the spiritual principle I'm trying to show you. The first part is you get what you plant, right? Now, many of you know that I used to be a horticulturalist. So people would often ask me how to get rid of the weeds in their lawn. Of course, most people assume the key is to focus on the weeds, but the key is to focus on the grass. Often what causes the weeds is thin, spindly grass, right? The best way to get rid of weeds is to plant more grass. People focus on the weeds. They go out and they dig the weeds out and they spray them. The best way to get rid of the weeds is plant more grass. So the first principle I want to show you is you get what you plant. And the second principle I want to show you is what good thing do you want in your life? Plant more of that. Don't worry about the negative. Okay? Here, I'll give you a sports analogy. If anybody follows basketball, you may remember a very well-known, very famous basketball player, Shaquille O'Neal. Went by Shaq. Shaq was terrible at free throws, and so he would practice free throws. But what was he doing? He was focusing on the negative, right? Phil Jackson comes in to be his coach and says, stop practicing free throws and just practice what you're good at. The free throws will follow. And guess what? Shaq stopped practicing free throws, and he got better at them because he focused on what he was good at. It's a spiritual principle. Plant more of what you want, okay? So now how does this apply to our life, and how do we use Scripture for that? So start by look at your life and identify areas or places in your life where things are not the way you would like them to be. What areas in your life don't live up to the kingdom of God? And then examine the fruit that's there. What seeds got planted to get that fruit? And then the fruit that's not there, what seeds need to be planted to get the fruit that you're looking for? Remember, we want to plant more of what we want. So we're not going to focus on the negative. We're going to plant more of what we want. Let's start with finances, then we'll move to health, and then we'll move to relationships. Finances. Proverbs 11:24, Stephen. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, becomes to poverty. You can give freely and yet gain even more. When you plant the seeds of generosity, you will bear the fruit of abundance. It's counterintuitive, right? When you plant the seeds of generosity, you bear the fruit of abundance. But it doesn't make sense. Wait, if I give away, how am I going to end up with more? It's a kingdom principle. Plant what you want. Amy and I can attest to this in so many ways. So if your finances are not in a good place, have you missed opportunities to be generous? Then the second part of this verse points out the negative side of the principle. If we withhold generosity, you come to poverty. That is the very definition of the poverty mindset. That is a poverty mindset. I can't give because I don't have much. I have to hold on to it. And guess what? What you have is going to run right through your fingers, and you won't have any. This principle works even if you're already the one in poverty. One more quick story. When I was in seminary, we were poor. I wasn't working. We were trying to pay for seminary out of our own pocket. Amy would, all the time, she'd come and she says, well, the good news is all the bills are paid. We can stay in the house for another month. The bad news is we have $35 to live on for the next 2 weeks. And we were a family of four. We had two children. So we're trying to live on, can you imagine living for 2 weeks on $35? Come on, y'all. Yeah. But so in this time period, we're living on $35 for 2 weeks, trying to get through seminary. And I meet this brother in seminary. His name is Dr. Amit Bahadia. Well, he's now a doctor. We found out that he was even worse off than we were. He didn't have anything. He was going days, sometimes weeks, without eating. And so we took this brother in and started feeding him from our little. See, that's the spiritual principle I'm talking about. You got to plant the seeds that you want. And then later on, as we continued through seminary, we would literally have food miraculously appear on our door. I can't tell you how many times it happened. Food would miraculously just appear on our door, and when we needed it most. Proverbs 11:25. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. As Hebrew often does, this is simply repeating the same principle from the previous verse. If you plant seeds of generosity, you will prosper. The problem is it just seems so counterintuitive. Then the second part of the verse, whoever refreshes will be refreshed. The word refresh here comes from the Hebrew word relach, which means to be saturated or to drink one's fill. Speaking of being generous and meeting the basic needs of others, if I meet the needs of others, I myself will be refilled and refreshed to the point of being saturated. I think this passage from Proverbs 11:24 and 25 illustrates this principle better than any other principle or any other verse. As we give, as we're generous, that is what then fuels and supplies what we need, what we have need for. All right, Psalm 41, Stephen. Blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble. The Lord protects and preserves them. They are counted among the blessed in the land. He does not give them over to the desire of their foes. The Lord sustains them on their sickbed and restores them from their bed of illness. The word weak at the end of verse 2 is the Hebrew word for poor. Verse 1. Blessed are those who have regard for the poor. The Hebrew word translated here as blessed means happiness or blessed. Stephen, I think the NLT is in there of verse 1. This is verse 1 from the NLT translation. Oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. This is how we plant seeds of joy. Does your life lack joy? Bless others, especially the poor, and you're planting seeds of joy. Do you see how we're building this? We're taking Scripture and we're building ourselves a tool. Okay, my life lacks joy, but the Scripture says if I go and I bless the poor, I will get joy, abundant joy. Do you see how we do this? Do you see how we use Scripture as a tool here? But here's the thing. We must believe in this as a principle. Because who wants to bless others when you're feeling down yourself? So you have to believe in the steadfastness of this principle of God that when I'm feeling yucky, I can go out and bless the poor, and I myself will receive joy. I must believe in this. As we look at this passage, especially verse 2, we see blessing, protection, being preserved, and not being given over to our foes. All of that for those who have regard for the poor. Who wants that? I got some. Are you ready for this? On the second Saturday of every month, come join us at the food pantry. Don't just think of it as serving. Think of it as planting the right kinds of seed. Seeds of blessing, happiness, joy, protection, preservation, sustaining, and restoration. When we serve at the food pantry, we're planting those kinds of seeds into our life. It's not just one more thing to keep us busy. The reason I encourage us to come to the food pantry is these are planting the right kinds of seeds. Right? You see that? Y'all going to be there next Saturday? Or Saturday on the second Saturday of the month? Honestly, the principles in Proverbs 11:41 run against much of our daily culture because they seem counterintuitive. We're often taught to hoard what we have. But see, here's the thing. It requires no faith to hoard. So that doesn't please God. Or we have been conditioned to strive and run after what we need rather than planting the right kinds of seeds. You see, we don't have to run and chase after all that we need. We just have to plant the right kinds of seed. Seeds rooted in faith, in these principles, right? So I don't have to run all over the place trying to get everything I need. I just, okay, Lord, what seeds do I need to be planting? Search this book. Find the seeds that you need to be planting and then plant those seeds, and then you don't have to run all over the place chasing after things, right? One more on finances and then we'll move on to health. Proverbs 19. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will be rewarded them for what they have done. Same basic principle here. Again, one that runs counterintuitive to our day. The Lord himself will reward those who are kind to the poor. Now let's look at the issue of health. Is there sickness in your body? We can certainly pray for healing, but we can also plant the right kinds of seeds, right? We can go back to Psalm 41 that we just looked at and look at verse 3. It says, the Lord sustains them on their sickbed and restores them from their bed of illness. Who wants that if you're sick, right? But the key to that was blessing the poor. If we're sick in any way, we can be restored. Verse 1 said, blessed are those who have regard for the weak. And then in verse 3 it said, you'll be raised from your sickbed. So even creating the right seeds for our health is rooted in blessing the poor. Do you see how we plant these seeds? And do you see how this one's counterintuitive to our culture? Proverbs 14:30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Certainly we don't want to plant seeds of rot, so check your heart for envy, right? Peace seems to be the key to good life in our body, so we need to plant seeds of peace then, right? Well, how do we do that? Psalm 85:8. I will listen to what the Lord says. He promises what? Peace to the people. Well, the last passage we looked at said peace is the key to health. Here it tells us how to get peace. Do you see this? I will listen to what the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but not let them turn to folly. A promise of peace is from the Lord, and it's something that we can lay hold of, and it leads to health in our body. Listen to the Lord and receive the promises of peace. And I would add, the listen there means obey. Listen and obey the words of the Lord. I will find peace, and that peace will be the key to health in my body. Here's another one on health. Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Having a cheerful heart is medicine. In opposite principle, a crushed spirit dries up our bones. So how do we get a cheerful heart? Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy. Where? In your presence. With eternal pleasures at your right hand. Joy is found in the presence of God. Turns out the key to planting seeds of good health is found in being in his presence and listening to and obeying his word for peace. Do you see that? All right, let's try to put all of this together. This one here on health was a little bit more work. We had to go to Proverbs and Psalms, and we would find that peace was the key, and then we go over here. This is how you get peace. Joy is the key. This is how you get joy, right? But this is how you begin to weave scriptures together to plant the seeds that we need in our life. Finding what seeds to plant in your life might take some work, but they're all in the Word. So often we read scripture as a rote activity or simply as a devotional activity, but we can also read scripture to gather the tools required to be the weapons that we need to live a full life in God. Do you see that? Do you see that I'm showing you how to use scripture in a different way? This yes, this is a devotional. Yes, this is a love letter from God. But this is also a manual, an instruction book on how to live our best life. Okay? Now, let me be perfectly clear. This is not the power of positive thinking. This is not name it and claim it prosperity gospel. This is not New Ageism. This is speaking and living the power and promises of God into every situation of our life. It's taking this and speaking it, weaving it together into a tool for our life. This is speaking the word of God, the truth of God, over our life and over our situation. This is planting seeds that are rooted in God's word. But here's the thing. This takes time. Natural seeds you plant in your field or garden will take time to grow. Seeing results here depends on how many weeds you have in your life and therefore how many seeds you have to plant to choke it out. The more weeds, the longer this will take. I would tell people all the time when I was renovating their lawn, I'm like, this is going to take all season. It may take you a season to begin to see the fruit of these seeds overcoming the weeds in your life. So let it take time, be patient, let it grow. But I assure you, the principle works, okay? Now, the same principle could apply to your relationships. Is your relationship full of discord, anger, arguments, bitterness, contention? What seeds have you been planting? Well, stop planting those seeds, but then plant the seeds that you do want. Don't focus on the weeds. Plant more grass and focus on what you do want. Plant seeds of love, care, protection, gentleness. Remember the words of Proverbs 18 that we started with. The tongue has the power of life and death. Without realizing it, we can be speaking death over someone that we love. Or you can choose to be deliberate and speak life over people. Proverbs 26:4. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will become just like him. Well, that's a word for our day. Don't join in silly and foolish arguments because you too become a foolish person, right? All right. Psalm 18. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. This starts by saying that God is perfect. Here's a really critical thing. When we disagree with something, we run the risk of calling God a liar. I see people all the time, well, I don't, blah, 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 blah. You just called God a liar because God did that. And God's perfect. Right? I wish I could share examples, but it would tick off too many people. When we say certain things, we're calling God a liar. Be careful with what you disagree with. I would encourage you instead to look at that situation that you don't like and say, God, what are you doing in here? Show me how your kingdom is present in this situation so that I can join it. These are the seeds that we want to be planting. And then it says here, the Lord will shield those who take refuge in him and understand that his ways are perfect. I want to show you one last graphic. Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you plant. That's a great word. Constantly, again, digging into this book, finding the seeds that we need to be planting into our life to get the fruit that we want. Again, I would encourage you to make a list. Where are the situations and areas in my life where things are not the way they should be? What seeds do I need to stop planting that got me to this point? And then what seeds can I start planting to get the fruit that I do want? Do I need fruit in my finances? Do I need fruit in my health? Do I need fruit in my relational situations? Plant those seeds. Amen? All right. I will wrap it up there and let the worship team come back up.